A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly's handing me tickets. Did I Venmo you this money?
No, I believe you owe me again.
Oh, do I?
No,
I didn't. Okay. By the way, if you haven't heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. And to celebrate, VSiN is offering its lowest price ever, a special three-year offer. Now, the reason I bring this up, you're probably like, wait, didn't this expire yesterday? We extend one day. We extended it today through today. That's it. Last day. Sign up and get 3 years of Visa Pro Access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Become a Visa Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to everything we do, including for the next 3 years. Today's the final day for the offer. It's available to both current and new subscribers. If you're an existing subscriber that'd like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. If you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit VSiN.com/special to sign up today. That's VSiN/special. Kelly, $350, 3 years, VSiN Pro Access, over 75% off the monthly price. They have been going like hotcakes.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, I think for a lot of our subscribers out there, or if you're even a newer subscriber, you probably know already whether you're going to be here long term or not. So if you know you're going to be, take advantage of the great savings.
Where's the expression going like hotcakes come from?
Yeah, no idea.
Just an expression to represent the love of hotcakes?
Yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed a good pancake, but you're right. Now, I'm never like pushing people out of the way to like, you know, give me those hotcakes before they go.
Ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, and I really mean undisclosed today because I do not recognize where he is, Mark Borchardt, base winner, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, Gil, what's going on, man? I am in an undisclosed location. I don't even know where I'm at myself.
Mark said off air, he goes, I think there's a lake here.
Between two desk lamps.
I think you can look out the window, Mark, and confirm that, if there's a lake or not. How are you doing,
man? You know, I can see the lake from my window. It's actually good to get out of the heat, Gil.
Oh, trust me. I know. We have that in common, Vegas and the Arizona desert. All right, let me start where I've asked you this before many times. But for those of us who have Braves to miss the playoffs bets, and mine is not as good as others. I have plus 750. We here on the show in the VSiN contest have it 8-1. Will Hill has it at 15-1. I think Felica has it even longer than that. The Mets are not really cooperating. They're not really participating in the demise of the Braves because the Braves are a half game in the playoff picture right now. Do you think the Braves are making this or not?
I do, Gil. I like them. You know, if you look at their starting pitching, and if you just go to my website, just look at their expected ERA based on strikeout percentage, walk percentage, ground ball rate, you'll look at Sale. He's 2.44. The new pitchers they have are good by those metrics. Grant Holmes at 2.61. And Schwellenbach's been really good, 2.95. And then it rounds out with Fried at 3.71 and Charlie Morton at 4.0. So it's controversial to a lot, but I have their starting pitching based on those numbers and other numbers as well as number one in baseball. So I think they make it 80% of the time, Gil. So I think that it's a pretty good opportunity. Pretty good opportunity. I think you can get them to make the playoffs right now at minus 150. And I'll probably go down till the season's end, but the numbers look good, you know?
All right. Well, if they're one of the three wild cards, because I assume, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I assume you don't think they're winning the division at this point. Who are the other two wild cards? And the reason I ask is because I made very few preseason baseball season-long bets. One of the, you know, obviously I did a Padres over was my favorite season win total bet. That looks great at 81.5. Cubs over 84.5, starting to look better and better. Season win still to me the most tried and true, you know, defy negative variance because there's 162 games kind of bet to make. The only other thing I did is people will remember, I bet the Giants, like for the first time ever preseason, I bet the Giants to make the playoffs, to win the National League, to win the World Series, because I figured they can't win the division against the Dodgers. But if they can get in, and somebody's got to make it in the National League, I think the Giants' starting pitching is equipped in a way that they can actually do some damage. Now, here's the thing. You can get you can get better numbers on all of those categories for the Giants right now, double kind of what I have. So I got them to make the playoffs at about plus 170, two or something like that, 175, it's double that. NL Pennant, 27-1, it's double that, basically. World Series, 55 or something like that, 53, 46, we have it on screen. It's double that, more than that, 125-1. Can the Giants, for those who are interested in betting them, can they actually get there just barely on the outside looking in?
Okay, so what I have is I have the Padres as pretty much a lock by my numbers to get a wild card slot. So 96.9%. We mentioned the Braves. I've got it 79.6%. And then the Diamondbacks I have as third most likely at 53.8%. But I do have the Mets at 39.9%, and then the Giants at 16.6%. So that's pretty much, and there's some outliers too. The Cardinals 10% roughly, the Cubs 7%. And that's kind of how I have the National League shaken down. So they can make it. I think 16.6% off the top of my head is like maybe plus four something. And so they're not really getting much value, at least at DK at plus 350. So, but I agree with your logic. I think they still have a chance, Gil.
Just said Diamondbacks just barely over 50%, huh?
Exactly. You know, they're to not make the playoffs at DK at like plus 380. That's a good price. I don't like their starting pitching, and you kind of look at the way it's made up. And this is, I'm looking at strikeout percentage primarily last 10 median, and you look at Gallen, he's at 16.7 strikeout percentage, 6.2% walk rate, 49.4% ground ball rate, gives him a base winner ERA of 5.08. Now the rest of the guys, Kelly's at 4.52, Brandon Pfaadt's good at 3.04, but then Erod and Jordan Montgomery 5.73 and 5.38. That's alarming. And so you throw that all in the mixer, and with the of course the bullpen ratings and the offensive ratings and the fielding ratings, and that's kind of how it goes when you simulate the season. So I agree with the numbers looking at the starting pitching, Gil. I don't think it's very good other than Brandon Pfaadt. He's good.
What's the best Mark Borchardt base winner, you know, play right now till end of season, either to win division, make or miss playoffs, whatever category you want to go to?
I like the Astros to win the division, Gil. I think to the numbers and really to my eye, they look really good. And I think you can still get them at maybe minus 170-ish. I've got a minus 320, 330 to win that division. And I like that. I like to lay the wood, Gil, when I can. And that's what I'm going to do with that Houston team. Again, I got them on a lot of, you know, some of these teams you bet over the course of the season. And I hope Houston can do it because I got a lot of positions on them, Gil.
Houston Astros right now, percentage point singular ahead of the Mariners in the American League West, 7.5 game lead over the Rangers in that division. What did you play today?
Well, today, speaking of a lay the wood parlay, I am going to lay the wood primarily with the Yankees. I think that they should be priced at minus 611. They're priced at minus 300. So I think that I'm going to put them in a parlay there. And it's, you know, when it gets like that, it's like the percentage, there's the incremental percentage points make the American money line look greater than it is. So it's
true.
Really not that high.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so then we go and I'm going to go with the Cardinals today. I really like Sonny Gray. Gil, I don't know if you've heard my Sonny Gray hypnotize, you know, Biggie hypnotize. I did a Sonny Gray rap with how he pitches. It's must see. If you haven't seen it, you got to go look at the archives.
Wow. And, so link me.
I did. Yeah. And, Anyway, I'm half him. He's my fifth ranked base winner pitcher. I don't like Andrew Abbott. He's been like serviceable, I guess, but his advanced numbers are poor. And I think we have just a little bit of an edge with the offense with the Cardinals here. So it's going to be Cardinals and Yankees, and you're risking one unit to win 1.37. That's kind of my primary play. I like the Twins a little bit with Pablo Lopez versus Brady Singer. And then I'm going to go with the Brewers and the Dodgers, kind of a preview of the of a playoff potential game. And I'm just not sold on Kershaw from what I've seen, and the numbers aren't sold either. I've got him right about league average, and Peralta's serviceable at 20%, more than serviceable, 20% better than league average. And I have the offenses surprisingly pretty equal. This Milwaukee offense, even without Yelich, has been impressive. I mean, they went into Atlanta and just hit the cover off the ball there, Gil.
You care to sample some of that Sonny Gray Biggie thing for us right now, or you want to?
I can't do it. No,
okay.
I can't.
Just thought I'd ask. Feel like I really needed to. All right. Last question here before you go. Team, and I've asked you this before, and I just want to get this sense because people are thinking futures plays. Team that if they get into the playoffs, so if they get in there, give me a 1-2-3 ranking of the best setups for playoff structure?
Well, I talked about the Rangers. I don't think they're going to get there because DeGrom's coming back. I mean, I would agree with you to an extent. Like, if you're looking, are you looking kind of outlier type teams?
Yes.
You know, I would agree with you on the Giants. I think that's probably the best idea. But I mean, really, for me, if you're looking at the Phillies, you're looking at the Dodgers are tough, Gil. If they get Yamamoto back, it's like, I can't really see past Dodger Blue, Gil.
I love your perspective because, you know, in a year where I say I think it's more of a free-for-all than anything, you have the pushback on that. You're like, well, still at the top, though, these teams.
It's a big caveat because I'm a huge fan of Yamamoto, Gil.
Okay, all right. But, you know, you're being loyal to the numbers as well. Mark Borchardt at Base Winner. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll come back. August MLB wins update and the NFL, of course.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in? I'm grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, back in the fold. So much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, Mike Somich. Mike Somich did not correctly identify his flight time this morning, so he will be with us via the telephone, I'm told.
The old telephone.
Not here at the desk.
He's joining us straight from Harry Reid International Airport.
Harry Reid International Airport. Yeah. Oh, from the airport here?
He's from the airport.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. B. Miller, 400 meters is a sprint, 800 meters, I don't know if that's considered a sprint, he said. So 1,500, definitely not. The numbers, guys. Today, are we going to see the first edition of Guessing the Lines preseason week 2? Sorry, Kelly. He says, no, we're not. By the way, Guessing Lines doesn't start till week 2 of the NFL season. And Kelly, by the way, I think you're going to be part of it. In the same way that you were last year.
Gotcha.
Yeah. NCI95 Gambler, can you explain what happened to our girl Iga at the Olympics? Or did I miss that segment? You missed that segment. She got beat. Danielle Collins was just a horrific human being after Iga beat her. And then Zhang Xinwen, the eventual winner, just crushed Iga. Iga was up 4-love in the second set. And Zhang Xinwen came back. Iga with the nerves. Just call me Skip. Don't forget Tennis in the Land and Cleveland in the WTA between Cincinnati and the U.S. Open. Yes, you are correct. But that is a 250 tournament as opposed to Cincinnati, which is a 1,000. But you're right. There is a 250 tournament in Cleveland the week before. And then BP, futures_bet. The reason I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is worth a bet for Rookie of the Year offensive is because the Arizona defense is really bad and their games might be 60 minutes of garbage time. Murray has to stay healthy, of course. I like the reasoning.
Yeah.
I like the reasoning.
No, it makes sense. I think I'd rather bet him for comeback player of the year than Murray.
Murray, as opposed to Marvin Harrison Jr. offensive rookie of the year. That's a good way. August most wins. We'll save that for later. Or you want to do it now?
I know.
Let's do it right now, real quick, before we get to Michael Modestano.
We've been teasing so much.
That's a good point. I wish I had brought that up. Michael Modestano joining us momentarily to talk college football. August most wins update. This our wild ride of awesomeness might be over, finally. August might be my kryptonite. I got the Mets. The Mets just got beat in a 3-game series against the Mariners by a combined score of 22-1.
Yikes. Yeah.
Is that good?
Saw that game last night. Ooh.
Right now, August most wins update. Padres and the Cubs, my two season win total over teams, 7-2, both of them at the top. Giants, 7-3. Let's go, Giants. Aren't they adorable? Just sticking out in there.
Aren't they adorable? That's a good word.
Brewers, Mariners, Astros, Dodgers, all 6-3, and the Twinkies are 6-4. A whole bunch of other randoms in there as well. So early, but if our Mets bet is going to do anything, the Mets are 4-6, I believe. They got to start now that they're going back home. They got to start.
Rolling. Yeah, Gil always with a good attitude about this, but yeah. This is the first time I remember ever being sent the information for this graphic.
And I'm not in it.
And the team's not on there.
Yeah, the team's not on there. That's right. First time all year. Yeah, we went 4+ months. Had
That's
a good
right.
run. We'll see. Let's go Mets. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college football with 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner, Michael Modestano, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, who's kind enough to join us. Mike, where are you joining us from, by the way?
Rochester, upstate New York.
There you go. All right, let's get into this. Without any small talk, because you got tons of bets in college football, let us begin in the 18-team Big Ten, where a lot of teams with this new world that we're in had ridiculously tough schedules. A lot of teams had ridiculously sort of easy schedules, got the best of it. And there's some teams in the middle. Illinois kind of qualifies somewhere in the middle. Their season win total is 5.5, and you went which way?
I took the Illini under 5.5. You know, Brett Bielema is in his fourth year as coach there. He's been pretty average, 18-19 record, including 5-7 last year. They're 58th in returning production, according to my numbers. I ended the rating last year at just about as an average team, 0.5 above an average team. Going into this year, I have them 2.5 points below an average team. They have a tough schedule. The schedule of teams that they play are power rated at 7.3 points above an average team. And the projected lines in their games, they are underdogs at 9.6. And that's just Division I games. That is not including FCS, their FCS opponent, Eastern Illinois. So I took them under 5.5. I have projected them at 4.5 wins for the year.
Yeah, -125 on the other under 5.5 season wins for Illinois at DraftKings. And you're right. Now that I'm looking at the schedule, Michigan at Oregon at Penn State, let's say those are losses. Let's give them Central Michigan and Eastern Illinois. But then you got to cobble together four wins against Kansas, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, which is at Nebraska, at Northwestern, Purdue, at Rutgers. I'm with you. I would lean on.
Yeah, they do have seven. They do have seven home games. So but there's four coin flip games in there, two at home and two on the road. So I just don't think they have enough offensive production to get over that 5.5.
All right, let's go to Rice. Rice last year, they won six games, none of them though against an FBS team that had more than four wins. But it's interesting because in a day and age when, you know, group of five programs protect themselves from other teams looking to grab their top players, Rice kind of intact here. How do you see Rice at 6.5?
Yeah, they are kind of intact. They have, according to my ranking, sixth in returning production. They have head coach Mike Bloomgren is in his seventh season, and they did win six games last year. With them set at 6.5, I have them improved from last year from -4.3 to -2.6, meaning they're 2.6 points below an average team. But they have a really good schedule. They're playing teams with an average of 6.1 points below an average schedule. And if you take the lines and you add them all up, they are favored in 3.2 points, according to my numbers. With Mike Bloomgren, with some continuity there, and with the returning production and their schedule, I'm taking them over 6.5, and I have them at circa -115.
All right, and circa -115, it's a good note. Shop around here, right? Because DraftKings is -150 to the over. Circa -115.
Big time.
Big difference. All right, A&M, Texas A&M. Trivia question. How many double-digit win seasons has A&M had since 1998? Any guesses? The answer is one. Now, they don't have to go double-digit here. They can get 9 and still go over. They're at 8.5. And as far as SEC schedules are concerned, Michael, I think you agree with this. It's about as easy as they come.
It really is. I'm just glancing at their schedule right now, and I think they're going to be underdogs in one of the games, and that's at home against Texas. They do have a coin flip game, the first game of the year, the big one against Notre Dame. But they are fourth. They were fourth in the transfer portal ratings. They return 18 starters, and they do have a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender in Connor Wigman. And I think they have one of the best coaches, underrated coaches in the country, Mike Elko, coming from Duke, where he went 16-9 at Duke. And we all know it's not easy to win football games at Duke. I have them projected at 15th in my preseason power ratings. And with that schedule, I'm taking A&M over 8.5, and they're at DK, they're -120.
Yeah, and what I mean by that schedule being as easy as it gets, so you take like Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, and Texas. Tough games, right? But they're all at home. They're all at College Station. Florida, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Auburn, they're all away from home. So it kind of, you get the easier in quotes, away, and the tougher ones at home. So it kind of works out, at least on paper, right, in your favor. And also, by the way, of course, no Georgia, no Alabama, no Oklahoma, no Ole Miss, no Tennessee, no Kentucky. All right, Iowa State. Let's go to the Big 12. Iowa State. Matt Campbell, for all the incoming he's taken, 6 winning seasons in the last 7 years. Season win total set at 7.5.
Yeah, this is, you just said Matt Campbell, so I have some apprehension about it. But I did take them over 7.5, and the reason being, and I also took them to win the Big 12 at plus 950. They have a projected power rating as a 14.9 points above an average team. They one of the top returning. They are the number one returning production team in the country. 19 returning starters back, including quarterback Rocco Becht. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. And he really came on strong at the end of last year. They do have continuity at the head coaching position. I have them favored in 9 games with basically 3 toss-up games after that. A small dog at Iowa and Utah, slight favorite at home versus Kansas State, according to my numbers. So I'm going to take them over 7.5. I have them winning 8.6 wins. And I really do like the shot at plus 950 to win the Big 12. There is so, with only 4.8 points separating the 6 top teams, there's some, there's a little bit of variance right there. So I like that. And if they get in the final, the championship game at plus 950, I think, you can hedge a little bit back if you need to, because I think the line will be close, whoever they play.
By the way, shop around again here. DraftKings, Iowa State to win the Big 12, plus 950. At Circa, it is only plus 650. So the DraftKings number is better there. Utah plus 320, K-State plus 380, and then Iowa State, the third short shot. The sixth, because Oklahoma State plus 750, UCF and Kansas both 9-1 and plus 950. So they're right there, tied for fifth in the Big 12. Want to squeeze Akron in here real quick, under 3.5?
Yeah. We won't go too in depth of Akron.
Let's hold up on Akron, because we're hitting it. But we're gonna do Akron. He's got to play on Akron in the MAC. Akron, by the way, season win total set at 3.5 wins. We also have plays for Matt on Arizona State in terms of conference wins, which is set at 2.5. They now in the Big 12. Got to always remind yourself where these teams are now and which conferences. Miami of Ohio, he's got a thought on them in the MAC. He's got a thought on Alabama. He's got a thought on Louisiana in the Sun Belt. All of that on the other side. More college football from Michael Montesano. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the Day, Barcanada, the Barrage, for those listening in Spanish. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Steve Fezzik live texting the show, as always. Always appreciate that, from the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Stevie obsessed with these Week 2 preseason overs that he's playing.
Ooh.
He went back to last year, and he said there were 4 low games, 19, 26, 32, and 31. That was the final point totals in those 4 low games. Then there was a 36, 36, 38, and 39. 8 of 16 went 40 or higher. So with every total this year coming up into week 2 of the preseason between 32 to 37 across the board, he says they're too low, considering the kickoff should add 1.5 points. Got that?
Got it. I'm trying to figure out which ones he's betting over. Ooh,
everything. He bet everything over, he said.
Every game?
I believe that's what he said. Yes. He says, that's me moving everything over.
Round robin parlay?
I don't think Stevie would appreciate that.
These all are ticking up, man.
Nothing makes his head explode more than parlays. But I just think that, again, let me repeat his reasoning. 4 low-scoring games in week 2 of preseason last year. 4 middling between, 36, 36, 38, and 39. Half of them went 40 or higher. The totals are between 32 and 37 across the board in week 2. Is that right?
Yeah, there's, I'm going to guess because of Mr. Fezzik, a few have ticked over that.
Yes, and so he went crazy. He went over all the way. And again, part of that's the kickoff, which he says should add a 1.5. So there you go. There's your week 2 betting advice. And now that the Dr. Bob week 4 arc betting advice doesn't apply anymore, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from the airport. Previously, we thought he would be here at the desk, but Michael Somich knows a lot of things. Reading a clock, not among his strengths. He is the co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown here on the weekends. Somo bombing with Mike Somich. How you doing, Michael?
I am doing well, boys. I'm doing well sitting here at Harry Reid International. Thought my flight was an hour later than it was. So unfortunately couldn't make it to the desk, but happy to join you guys. I think Fezzik takes an interesting one. I was on with Matt Brown yesterday. We talked extensively about the kickoffs. I do think it adds a point to a point and a half if we see these teams end up kicking off. If you go through and look at the average starting field position from last week's regular season or preseason games, it was past the 30-yard line. If you just kick it through the end zone, the team gets it at the 30-yard line. At some point, it feels like these teams are just going to look at the results of these kickoffs and decide, hey, we're fine with a touchback. We'll just kick it through the end zone.
Here is your co-host Matt Brown's tweet on it, Matt Brown M2, VEASAN's own, our old primetime action co-host, Kelly's mine. I gathered the starting field positions after return kickoffs, no regular touchbacks included, from 8 of the preseason games yesterday, 48 kicks. Mean 31-yard line, median 30, minimum 14, max 80-yard line, meaning the opposing 20. The 80-yard line, as Matt calls it.
Who had the big return? I missed that one.
I missed that one, too. But there it is. And so, yeah, I mean, what do you think? By week 3, let's call it, Mike, they'll have this figured out for optimal strategy?
I would say week 3, week 4, we have optimal strategy. I would be surprised if week 1, we don't see some teams be creative with how they kick the football, maybe a lower line drive that lands in the landing zone and rolls through the back of the end zone versus the higher kicks, because it's not like you need time for your guys covering the kick to run down there. They're in the exact same place no matter what velocity you kick the football. So I think you're going to see some adjustments week 1 and week 2. And after that, I think people are just going to realize, hey, let's just give it to them at the 30. If we land the ball in front of the landing zone, it's the 40. And if they get a return, it's most likely the 30 or better. So why are we really messing around with this? We're not going to get the holding calls we used to. It doesn't make sense. The risk versus reward just doesn't make sense not to just give them a touchback.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing where I like picture Bill Belichick now without a job just screaming on his couch about like, oh, I would have done this perfectly. We were talking about the great starting quarterback performances. Again, small sample size. Some of them were just one drive's worth. But if you're the Minnesota Vikings, the Washington Commodores, the Chicago Bears, or the Denver Broncos, you got to be thrilled with what you saw with your first-round draft pick. Did any of this trigger an offensive rookie of the year bet for you?
It did, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm kind of in on Bo Nix here.
Wow.
We always talk about it's you versus the market. I am higher on Bo Nix after watching that game yesterday than the market. Right now, 22-1 in the rookie of the year market. Look, any quarterback that's going to get 17 starts and look okay, he should be better than 22-1. A lot can happen when you're able to get that many reps. And then you look at this Denver team as a whole. You've got two competent running backs. You've got guys like Sutton. You've got guys like Mims, who's coming back from injury. You've got Troy Franklin, who could be an interesting slot guy that we know Nick has a connection with. You've got a team that's going to be down and need to throw the football. All of a sudden, you watch Bo Nix. He looked like he could handle an NFL snaps. Now, obviously, you got to pump the brakes. Second team against a bad secondary in the preseason. But if you're going to give me 17 starts, I'll take a shot at 22-1 for rookie of the year.
Mike, I was saying this earlier on the show. I completely agree. Like, if you said you were betting J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix at those current numbers, 20 and 22-1 respectively, I can't argue with you. We were showing 18-1 and 20-1 respectively. Pardon me. I cannot argue with, right? Because there is the scenario where you're going to get all the chance in the world to win this. So I get it. And I'm one who there was not one moment of watching Bo Nix in college where I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a great pro. Not one. But you see something yesterday, you're like, okay, well, I'll take it at that number.
Yeah, I was completely out on Bo Nix. I did not think it was a good use of draft capital to take him at 12. I still don't necessarily think it's a great use of draft capital to take him at 12. But you saw a lot of the pieces of the Oregon offense come through in this Denver offense. It feels like Sean Payton had an idea of how to play to the strength of Bo Nix when he was setting up specifically the offense for Denver. And if that's the case, and if he does get those starts, it's hard to not like him. I thought J.J. McCarthy played very well yesterday as well. I'll be interested to see what happens when he gets reps against ones versus the threes that he was playing when we got all those highlights from him. But I was positively impressed with J.J. McCarthy, too. Not enough, because I don't think he's going to start the season, to be able to get a Rookie of the Year ticket in. And that early schedule for the Vikings is also absolutely brutal from a defensive perspective.
All right, let's go to baseball. You have a couple baseball plays today. Both are first fives. What do you got?
I do. Give me the Astros first five here. This is a play against Taj Bradley, which I'm surprised I'm saying. He's starting for the Rays today, and he has been solid at home as a 2 ERA there. But the last two games, he has really struggled. And this is an Astros team that started to really hit the ball. Low total, just 7.5 in the game. I want to focus on the starting pitchers here. I took the Astros minus 130 first half. Then the second game, Rangers versus Red Sox. I want to take the over first five here, sitting at 4.5. If you look at Bello, who's on the mound for the Red Sox, he's given up two or more earned runs in every single start except for one since April 19th. He's had multiple starts where he's given up 5-6 earned runs, and you've got two teams that can hit the baseball in good conditions today. So I'll take first five over Rangers, Red Sox, and Astros first five minus 130.
Okay. I asked this of Mark Borchardt earlier. I want to ask this of you. Obviously, it's a free-for-all in terms of getting in as wild cards. In the American League and the National League, not so much. American League, actually, it's a little more clear, but it's still a free-for-all. We still have more than a quarter of the season to go. NL is a complete scrum. I asked this of Borchardt, I'll ask of you, which is which team, and let's throw out Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, and Brewers. Let's take out the division winners. Let's just talk potential wild card teams right now. Which team, if they got in, are they? Which is the proverbial no team wants to play them in a best of three or best of five?
Man, it feels like the Astros, doesn't it? Like, if you get Kyle Tucker back and he's healthy, and then you have this pitching staff where you do have two, three, four guys that are able to go out there and start and give you quality starts, you've got a team that's done it before. To me, I would want to say Mariners, but I don't believe in the bats enough there. So I'm going to go with the Astros as the team no one wants to play.
All right, because they are still atop a division. I will ask you for a non-division leader. Who would you answer?
I'm going to go with the Padres. Okay. The Padres have been playing very good baseball recently. They struggled early in the season, but they've seemed to be able to turn around. They're hitting the ball well. They seem like they're like to go to the ballpark right now. And that NL is a mess. I mean, with what you're seeing from the Dodgers, what you're seeing from the Braves, I'm not all that enthusiastic about some of the teams at the top. I think the Phillies look very good. But outside of that, I don't love everything in the NL. So I think the Padres have a shot of coming out of there if they get a wild card. I don't think people want to play them.
All right, Mike. Mike, you going to the West Coast? Is that where you're flying to?
Yeah, I'm flying. Quick little flight over to Santa Barbara.
All right. What is it? How long does that flight take? 35 minutes total?
It's about 45 minutes in the air.
All right. Good luck. Fly safely, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good one. Good luck with your bets.
Mike Somich, not able to be here, Kelly, nonetheless gets to us from the airport. Very kind of him, Mike Somich.
That's right.
You busy working hard over there? You okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to make one or two of these preseason bets.
What do you do?
Fezzik's moving everything over here.
He is. He's very excitable about things like this, and so he wants to let everybody know it's him doing it.
I think I'm going to lay the points with the Broncos this week, playing the Packers, and that one is moving, so I'm going to bet that right now.
By the way, it also occurs to me as we're talking about Bo Nix here, that this is a great time capsule show to see how ridiculous this take might be. Right? Like the fact that people, after one, I'm not just saying Mike is ridiculous. I'm talking about, like, we have said, those four small sample size performances, but all four of those quarterbacks, right? McCarthy, Nix, Daniels, and Williams. So great. But, like, which of these is going to be the most ridiculous come week 12?
Or maybe 13? Nix is amazing and me and you just look like clowns from the whole season.
Well, no, but I'm the first person to say, if you want to bet it at that price right now, I totally get it. But one of these things is going to be ridiculous. Not that we have takes, right? But it'll be interesting. We'll come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Contest season, baby. Need a contest proxy? Talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy is now in its ninth year providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million Contest winner, so maybe they're good luck as well. Plus, don't miss out on Circus Ultimate Contest Weekend. That's August 22nd to 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner Circle proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to Visa Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to WinnerCircleProxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's WinnerCircleProxy.com, Visa's preferred proxy partner. Remember that that documentary on Survivor that everybody was doing last year? Or Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Is that some Biggie right there?
Oh, it sure is. Sure is.
Can you name the sample?
No.
Oh, see, these kids with the inability to name the sample.
Yeah,
the bass line right there? Herb Alpert, Rise.
Sure.
Instrumental jam. That right there.
Worked with Herb once.
Did you? Yeah. Did you? I met Herb. Met Herb Alpert, didn't meet Biggie.
You always got to be careful with Herbs. You don't know if they, how hard on the H you're supposed to go. You know, some of them are more softer, more like an herb.
Herb.
Yeah.
Like peaches and herb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a tricky
herbs
name.
And rye.
You don't run into many many herbs.
You don't know whether to call them Herbert, Herbie, or Herb kind of thing as well.
Herbie, I feel like. Would
didn't meet Biggie, met Tupac. You know, Tupac once called me brave. Do you want to know the context?
Yes, please.
Was that the
kidding me?
1990, I was at Howard University Hip Hop Conference, and I was spending the day with Chubb Rock. This is a true story.
It's already the best story ever.
I was spending the whole day with Chubb Rock. Chubb Rock was a one-hit wonder. He had a song called Treat 'Em Right.
Where were you working at the time?
Channel 9 in D.C., the CBS affiliate in
okay,
D.C.
Okay.
I was a young kid. And Tupac made the – he decided to make a calculus in his head about – my pigmentation and the place that we were, and he said, "Oh, you're brave." I was like, "What?" that's my entire interaction with Tupac Shakur. There it is.
Bro, Gil
memory
Tupac.
Lane. By the way, big news when you were gone, the McDonald's at the D is going away.
Oh, I know. I mean, I knew about it.
We knew about it. We just didn't know when.
Yeah.
Derek Stevens, who sits in his office for 10 hours a day plotting the demise of McDonald's, and he finally succeeded. It's gone in 2 weeks.
When's the official date? The crew's got to go.
August 25th, I believe, is the official goodbye date. Wait, what's that? 13, 14, 15, 16? Oh, maybe the 23rd.
I'm here on the 25th.
Oh, 25th. Okay, so 25th. Not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. That's it. It's over. Kelly, I refuse to work at the D anymore if there's no, there's no McDonald's.
The crew might storm out too, man.
That's it. That's it.
Has to be the most regular business they get is from the VEASAN, you and the crew for sure.
Me and the crew.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say the VEASAN crew, but I can't leave you out.
Me and the crew used to eat McDonald's.
You should be doing a hash brown commercial for McDonald's.
I should.
I really don't know how they're not a sponsor of the show specifically for the hash browns.
We talked about something earlier. By the way, can you work on that endorsement for me? Get me McDonald's endorsement.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. We'll do that. Crown Royal whiskey.
What?
Prime energy drink. I'm just thinking of products we truly believe in.
Oh, okay.
We truly believe in.
And by we, figure out who likes which.
Yeah, you like the hash browns. I like the whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mentioned in passing when we were talking earlier on the show about the ridiculous Matt Kuchar behavior, which, by the way, again, there's no justification for whatsoever. But specifically that Max Greisserman gacked this tournament, right? Up four strokes with five holes to play. And I mentioned that in the Matt Kuchar situation – there was no reason for his behavior. First of all, he hit into the group in front of him on 18. So all of his explanations afterward were stupid as to why he decided he didn't want to finish the tournament yesterday. And the main thing is you could justify it from a monetary way, even though he makes a bajillion dollars and $70,000 here or there shouldn't matter to him. So that was flimsy too. But what it really didn't matter to him on his FedEx Cup playoff points, because he's not getting in the top 70. This is a betting vehicle that if keen numbers game listeners over the years have paid attention to, I have enjoyed betting very much. Now, I know like you and Wes and Matt, this is not necessarily your go-to because it's a three-tournament arc.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the top 70 into the St. Jude. Then it's the top 50, is it, into the BMW?
Yeah, 50 and then 30 for the Tour Championship.
And then 30 for the Tour Championship. And it's cool because it's not widespread. But you have to figure out there's going to be tournament odds,
yes,
right, for the St. Jude.
Very important, yes.
And then there's going to be to win the FedEx Cup odds.
Correct.
Which is a three-tournament arc. Now, we still do the staggered thing at the end as well in the championship?
Yes, so the Tour Championship will have starting strokes. So where you go into the tournament, that's based off where your points are after the BMW. So
Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele are going to get a head start into the final tournament no matter what. One would think, unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, the one thing to keep in mind, though, is that, like, these FedEx Cup points get big time in these playoffs. Well, so, like, kind of where the standings are right now, they could shit.
28 spaces, I believe.
Yeah, that you weren't even in the playoffs. For whatever reason, they overvalue these playoff events too much.
Right.
So, where I was going to, like, I think that market you're talking about, I'm interested to see how many books posted, because when I was looking around last night and this morning, it wasn't up, like, anywhere. There's only one place in town that has it up.
One place
Westgate has it up. They have it up every single year.
Good for the Westgate.
I will give them credit. They have it up every year.
Good for them for having it. I only say good things about the Westgate.
I know that.
That's great that somebody has it up, because that has always been the struggle. I don't think you're the golf guy, so you know better than me. I don't think golf has done a good job. I don't think this is a controversial take of promoting this format. And I actually love it for betting purposes, because anything that requires you to think of two different things at the same time is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so they don't do a good job. And therefore, I don't think betting shops have really been hip to it in past years. Maybe now they will be.
It's I think you're when it comes to the betting, you're absolutely right. I just think that there's golf wants to figure out some way to end the season with a playoffs, and there's just it. Look, the first two events are awesome, but then you hit the Tour Championship, and it's
weird.
And it's weird, and it's always been weird, because even before they did the staggered, when you'd have one guy win the tournament, the other guy win the FedEx Cup, and you're like, well, this is silly.
That's the real confusing part. When you get to the final tournament, then that's that, right? It's like, okay, wait, are we betting FedEx Cup, or are we betting this tournament?
No, so that one's done now, right? Because they're going to be staggered based off of where they're at in the points. So whoever wins that tournament wins it all.
Wait, but they start the final tournament with staggered.
Correct.
Right, but then what I'm saying
Scottie Scheffler could have a 10-shot lead.
No, but there's a betting market that also says low for that event.
Oh, correct. Yes.
It gets super confusing. Right.
There will be a 72-hole market for the Tour Championship.
Yeah, so you got to keep all those things in mind while this is happening. But yet, here before the three tournaments begin, it's kind of cool. By the way, for the FedEx St. Jude Championship specifically, Scottie Scheffler plus 350. Xander 7-1, Rory plus 850, everybody else double digits, beginning with Morikawa at 14-1. Did you bet anything on this yet?
I have not yet. I mean, look, Morikawa, I've basically been betting every single week. I expected him to kind of be at this same number, so I probably will. The one I always bet for that FedEx Cup market, it is, I mean, if you're betting an outright this week, you should be betting at least some in that in the FedEx Cup market as well, because your guy is going to, if they win this week, he is launching to the top or near the top of the FedEx Cup standings. So unless it's someone like I'm looking at, like Scheffler's minus 110 to win the FedEx Cups, probably, you know, that probably makes sense with him at plus 350 for this tournament. Xander's plus 250 over at Westgate. Now you get down to more kind of numbers where they're at for the tournament. Rory's plus 750. So if you're going to bet him plus 850 to win this tournament, might as well sprinkle in the FedEx Cup market for him at plus 750 too, because you're going to have a big advantage then going into the final 2 weeks. So Morikawa, I'm looking at 16-1 in that. If I play him this week, basically anybody I play this week where I'm going to find a similar number in the FedEx Cup market, I will be adding that as well.
Besides the Westgate, have you seen it anywhere?
I have not seen it anywhere else. And I don't, like, East Coast, I don't know if I remember how many were posted.
But the thing is, DraftKings, say what you will, DraftKings is good about having different markets and lots of stuff. The fact that they don't have this up is always odd to me. They don't have this up.
Yeah, I searched around this morning. I was shocked. I couldn't find. I went FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM. Nobody had it up yet.
Boy, it's nice to be able to say FanDuel out loud, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to check again.
RIP, Advocate Skirmish.
Yeah, RIP. They might just be taking time to. Like, again, credit to the Westgate. They do this every single year.
Yes.
And, like, I think the pricing, you know, for Jeff Sherman and company, they're way easier to have this stuff ready to go. I don't know. These other books might not be as used to it. They might want to give it a day or two to see where the betting comes in for the St. Jude, and then adjust prices.
As far as, you know, right before college football and the NFL regular season begin, if you're looking for, like, cool August betting things, if you missed out on the August MLB season wins, this is kind of a cool arc before football.
Especially since the Little League World Series, man. That's like, it's just taunting. Like, every time, it's like, all right, it's time for football. Like, get these kids off the field.
Football. And by the way, I'll just say it again. Tennis has the decency to get out of the way right when football starts. The most decent sport there is. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.